Congressman, do you accuse me of willfully blocking consideration of bills which I do not support?
I do, sir.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The National Hour. This is a mirror of public opinion, reflecting what America and the world are thinking, planning, and doing. This is today's interpretation of the problems and the newsworthy milestones that we must reach and pass on the road to peace and reconstruction. Today, March 3rd, 1946, we present the 16th in the distinguished new NBC series, The National Hour. Our subject for today,
the streamlining of Congress.
This is Robert St. John in New York City. For the next 28 minutes, we invite you to join us in America's most ancient and honorable sport, heckling, criticizing. That's one of our privileges as Americans. And so we invite you to participate today in a game called What's the Matter with Congress? With me here as a guest player is Mr. Beardsley Rummel, chairman of the Businessmen's Committee of the National Planning Association.
This is Robert McCormick in Washington, and here in the nation's capital, some of the most active players of the game called What's the Matter with Congress are members of Congress themselves. And many of them have put forward constructive suggestions for the streamlining of Congress, which we will detail. Later in this program, we shall hear from one of these congressmen, Representative Estes Kefauver, Democrat of Tennessee. And now we are standing by.
Say, Mr. St. John, are we going to play now? Are we going to play What's the Matter with Congress?
We are. Would you like to start off, Mr.?
Where's the name? Peter J.
Oh, yes. You were with us once before, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right, when you discussed inflation. You know, I try to come over when I got the time. I like to get a little smart about what's happening to me, in a way.
Well, we're glad to have you. Now, would you like to start off about Congress?
Sure, I'll take the first crack. Now, look, those guys in Congress, they make a salary like a radio star. They got working hours like a banker, vacations like a school teacher. Why, they live high off the hog.
Then what's your complaint, sir?
My complaint is this should happen to me.
Well, let's hope it does happen to you, Mr. Guare.
Thanks.
But do you know exactly how much a congressman earns, how much his job costs him, and just what he has to do in his job?
Not exactly.
Well, then stay with us, Mr. Guare. Maybe you'll find that being a congressman these days isn't all the way you dream it.
Now, I'd like to say something.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm president of the Contemporary Women's Club of Lacey Falls. Last year, I attended a session of Congress, and would you believe it? There was practically nobody on the floor. Practically nobody. It's a wonder to me this country keeps running. Why, if I... Oh, well, never mind. My husband's waiting for his lunch. Thank you, Mr. St. John.
Thank you, madam. Now, you're next, sir.
What Congress needs is to have its valves ground and the carbon cleaned out. The old motor has lost its zing. Its fundamental design is good, but it should step up its efficiency. Congress, in other words, should reorganize itself.
Well, thank you, sir. And may I ask what business you are in?
I'm a member of Congress, sir, from the state of Tennessee.
Say, Mr. St. John, how about that?
Well, how about what, Mr. Guare?
You mean to say that even congressmen play What's the Matter with Congress?
That's what Bob McCormick said when we opened our show.
Well, the one that just spoke must be an exception.
Oh, no, not at all, Mr. Guare.
Huh? I beg your pardon?
This is Robert McCormick in Washington. A good many congressmen feel there are things wrong with Congress.
Oh, well, can I have another sample?
Why, certainly. Here, in part, is what a senator had to say.
Vital problems affecting the future welfare of every American citizen confront Congress. But Congress today is neither organized nor equipped to understand and approve such policies or to supervise and review their execution.
Say, Mr. McCormick, which senator said that?
Robert M. La Follette, Jr. of Wisconsin.
Oh, thanks. He's been in Congress a long time, hasn't he?
Oh, yes, he has. And this will interest you, Mr. Guare. Senator La Follette is now chairman of the Joint Congressional Committee to Organize Congress.
Joint Committee to Organize Congress? Hey, don't tell me they're going to have a union, too.
Oh, no, no, not quite. This committee came into being when last year Congress became serious about playing What's the Matter with Congress.
Mr. Speaker, we have heard much testimony from authoritative expert sources outside of Congress, as well as from Congress itself. National problems are growing more complex, and our international role has become more important. One of the most constructive chapters in the work of the present Congress would be the adoption of House Concurrent Resolution 18. Mr. Speaker, I move its adoption.
The resolution provides for a committee composed of 6 members of each House, equally divided between the two parties. The committee is to make a complete study of the organization and operation of Congress, and is to recommend improvements for strengthening Congress and enabling it to meet its responsibilities under the Constitution.
On February 19, 1945, Concurrent Resolution 18 was passed by both houses of Congress. On March 13, 1945...
The Joint Committee on the Organization of Congress hereby opens its hearing. Congress has recognized the challenge by creating this committee. We shall begin our inquiry with a survey of congressional opinion. Later on, the committee will hear other interested groups and individuals. I'd now like to hear from Senator Caron, chairman of the Senate Committee on the Judiciary, come forward.
With the present session of Congress, the Joint Committee resumed its hearings and discussions. Last week, a representative of the National Hour inquired as to the present status of the committee's work.
For several weeks now, the committee has been discussing specific suggestions for strengthening and improving Congress.
How many points do these suggestions cover?
About 35 or 40. The suggestions that are approved by the committee will be incorporated into the report and recommendations to Congress.
And how soon will this report be issued?
Well, if no unforeseen hitches develop, we hope to bring out our report within the next week or two.
Well, Mr. Guare, are you still with us?
I sure am, Mr. St. John, and I'm sticking around right till the end, too. Now I get the setup of that committee and what it's up to. But you know, something else just came to me. Now, maybe I'm jumping the gun on this a little, but is it possible that the trouble with Congress is the kind of men who are in it? Now, could that be?
Well, it could be, but Congressman Monroney of Oklahoma doesn't think that that's the answer. Here's what he had to say not long ago.
It is argued by most that the very simple expedient of electing Joe Blotz or Tim O'Shea will overnight accomplish the desired miracle, or that Party A or Party X, when it comes into power or stays in power, will make things right. I wish the problem were as simple as that. Indeed, the election of 435 saints to the House and 96 saints to the Senate would still find the problem of fading congressional effectiveness continuing. No set of geniuses could make the present congressional machinery perform effectively any more than by changing drivers you can make a Model T car outrun a Mercury.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess that takes care of that. Now let's go on.
Fine. Now for you, Mr. Guare, and for our other fellow citizens, the National Hour brings a preview of several of the major changes in Congress under discussion by the Joint Committee down here in Washington.
Item of recommendation.
That instead of 48 standing committees in the House of Representatives, we have 18. That instead of 33 standing committees in the Senate, we have 16.
And that, Mr. Guare, is an important recommendation.
Yeah, if you say so, Mr. McCormick, but why?
Because the experts say there are too many committees.
Is that bad?
Well, let's see for ourselves.
Oh, Senator, may I see you for a minute?
Well, I'm very busy, young man, very busy.
It'll just take a moment. My paper would like to know if
I'm really very busy. On my way to a committee meeting. It's late now, special committee.
Oh, which one, sir?
Our post-war economic policy and planning.
Oh, how many committees are you assigned to, Senator?
Well, let me see now. Oh, yes, well, there's Indian Affairs, Appropriation, Irrigation, Reclamation, and Judiciary, Military Affairs, and, Patents.
Oh, that makes seven.
That's right, young man.
But, Senator, there's three other committees of which you're a member are meeting right now.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do about that. How can I be in four places at once?
Well, are you always able to keep up with the measures that come up for a vote in the Senate?
Well, strictly off the record, it often happens because of the number of bills introduced that I just simply haven't been able to study what's in the measure before us.
But you cast your vote.
Young man, I sometimes vote with a prayer on my lips and with my fingers crossed, or I take my cue from the party whip.
Okay, Mr. St. John, so there are a lot of committees and not always enough men to serve without a lot of doubling. But if all these committees are needed...
Well, that's just the point, Mr. Guare. Listen.
During the first session of the 78th Congress, to take only one example, there were at least eight committees and subcommittees in the Senate and at least nine in the House operating within the same general field of inquiry. All of them expect and have the right to require the appearance of department heads and their chief subordinates. This causes delays and interruptions in efficient administration. As an example...
Rubber Director Jeffers gave testimony before five different committees of Congress within 10 days on precisely the same problem. I don't know how the man found time to get his work done.
Say, Mr. McCormick... check me on this if I'm wrong, see? But as I get it, there are too many committees in Congress because a lot of them overlap.
Well, that's what these congressmen say, Mr. Guare.
Well, now, suppose the committees are cut down. Wouldn't that fix up everything?
Well, not completely and not right away. But it's looked on as a big and important step in the right direction.
And that happens to be the opinion of the gentleman seated right beside me here in New York, the congressman from the 3rd District of Tennessee, Estes Kefauver, who has been a member of Congress for 7 years and has served on seven important committees. The microphone is yours, sir.
I've been tremendously interested in the strengthening of Congress ever since I became a member. Progress has been slow, but I think we are now beginning to get somewhere in bringing the national legislature up to date. Before I left Washington this morning, I learned that the report of the Joint Committee on the Reorganization of Congress will be submitted to the Congress on tomorrow. And it's good to know that the committee was able to bring forth a unanimous report. I'm particularly interested in the necessity of better understanding and cooperation between the Congress and the executive. I'm glad the committee has recommended a legislative policy committee. This policy committee will go far toward promoting better cooperation. For many years, I've been proposing a report and question period plan. Unfortunately, the Joint Committee could not make a recommendation on this proposal, although it was frequently discussed in the hearings. There is a desperate need for more direct liaison and for greater understanding between the President and the Congress. We are not being kept currently informed on foreign affairs. We need fuller and more accurate information on the work of the Department. One of the basic techniques of democracy is a system for reporting by and interrogation of executive officials. One of the great virtues of the town meeting plan of local government is that at any meeting, a citizen may stand on his feet and ask for an explanation of the executive officials of the town. But, of course, in the larger units of government, such as the federal government, this method of direct interrogation by citizens cannot be used. The same good results may be obtained, however, through questioning by the elected representatives of the people. In House Resolution 31, I have proposed that we have a report and question period on the floor of the House of Representatives at least once every 2 weeks. Senator Fulbright has a similar resolution pending before the Senate. During this period, a particular member of the cabinet or the head of an agency would be invited to appear on the floor of the House and answer written questions which had already been prepared and submitted to him by the legislative committee which issued the invitation. The purpose of all of this is, of course, to bring the executives face to face with the representatives of the people, in order that the country may have the benefit of a free, open, and candid consultation between them. In the House of Representatives, the average term of a member is a fraction over two terms. There is no adequate way under our present system for members of the House to keep abreast with the rapidly changing problems of government. Congress could do its work much better. The executives would be more alert. The public would be better informed if the method of face-to-face discussion could be put into operation. For the good of our country, the ends of Pennsylvania Avenue must be brought closer together.
Thank you, Congressman Kefauver.
In order to increase further the efficiency of Congress, several of the recommendations being considered down here in Washington propose the hiring of expert assistants for individual congressmen and for the standing committees.
Another proposal would create a setup for a closer working relationship between the White House, the Cabinet, and members of Congress.
Of all the proposed recommendations, probably none will be more hotly debated than the one concerning the House Rules Committee. Of such a debate would be one of a long series that began many years ago, in the early years of the 20th century, some 35 or 40 years ago.
Mr. Speaker! I demand an answer to my question.
Mr. Congressman, the Rules Committee has not been able to find a place for your bill on its order of business.
Perhaps you, Mr. Speaker, as a member of that committee, have not wanted to find a place for my bill. It's almost 6 months now since I introduced that bill.
The pressure of business has been great, sir.
But no greater than the pressure you have exerted to keep my bill from consideration by this body.
Mr. Congressman, do you accuse me of willfully blocking consideration of bills which I may not support?
I do, sir. The Speaker's control over legislation is now almost absolute. No bill can pass the House without your passive approval. And that, in effect, is the same thing as active support.
Fight against the power of the Speaker went on. Finally, in 1910, a vote of the House removed the Speaker from membership in the Rules Committee.
Gentlemen, our vote today marks the fall of the legislative czar and the end of his despotism. From this day on, the Rules Committee will have one function and one function only: to provide an orderly program of business. No longer will it pass upon the merits of legislation brought before.
Gentlemen of the Rules Committee, I bring this statement to your attention now in the year 1945 to point out that the committee has been and is usurping powers that do not rightfully belong to it.
My answer to that is, sir, that I have today received 67 telegrams opposing this very measure. I say let us save the time of Congress and the money of the taxpayers by putting a stop to this nefarious bill right here and now.
But we have no right to do this. We cannot pass on legislation here.
I don't ask the committee to pass on this legislation. I merely ask that we delay reporting this bill to the floor.
A proposed recommendation of the Joint Committee to Organize Congress.
So that the House Rules Committee will no longer be able to block legislation, it will have to report a bill either favorably or unfavorably within 20 days.
Say, Mr. St. John, that Rules Committee sounds like a powerful bunch, all right.
Well, it surely is, Mr. Guare. But let's go on now to another proposed recommendation that really should interest you.
It is recommended that members of Congress be placed under the federal retirement system and given the $5,000 pay rise to $15,000 a year.
You're right, Mr. St. John. That one sure does interest me. How come that recommendation? Is it because everybody else is asking for a raise these days?
Oh, not at all, not at all. Here's one reason.
Bill, say the word and you're as good as in Congress right now. Why, there isn't another man could draw the vote in this district like you.
Sorry, Tom, the answer is still no.
But look, fella, this isn't just politics. You're a good man. You know the score. You know the things we need. You'd really give us service.
Sure, Tom, I'd do a good job, I know that. But I can't afford to sit in Congress. It's taken me a long time to build up my business here. I have a house and a wife and two kids. I can't just pull up and go.
But you'd be getting 10 grand a year and some of your expenses.
Tom, my uncle was in Congress for 10 years, and it cost him about $6,000 a year out of his own pocket. And he wasn't a high liver either.
I wish there was some way you could work this out.
And so do I, Tom, but I'm sorry, but the answer stays no.
Congress, oddly enough, has been rather reluctant to vote itself a raise. But the experts of private organizations who've been studying the problem of streamlining Congress all seem to agree on the need for a raise. As representative of one of these groups, here is Mr. Beardsley Rummel, author of the famed Rummel Plan and chairman of the Business Committee of the National Planning Association. Mr. Rummel.
Strengthening our Congress is one of the big jobs that has to be done to strengthen democracy at home and to make democracy the foundation for a peaceful world. Democracy must be made to work better, and to make democracy work better, our Congress must be strengthened so that it can meet the requirements of modern conditions with modern methods. Strengthening the Congress is one of our number one reconversion jobs. Many detailed suggestions have been made. I shall mention only two. First, there should be majority and minority policy committees that would make party responsibility a reality. Without party responsibility, there can be no democracy that truly functions. Second, congressional salaries should be raised, not by the inadequate amounts that are being discussed, but to $25,000, the minimum compensation that should be paid for the top legislative job in the world's top democracy. This $25,000 rate was unanimously recommended by the Agriculture, Labor, and Business Committees of the National Planning Association after study and report by Robert Heller, the distinguished Cleveland management engineer. Study of the facts makes the $25,000 rate inescapable if we are to treat our congressmen justly and if we are to be just to our democratic legislative process. If it is politically awkward for congressmen to raise their own salaries, we of the National Planning Association say, let the question be referred to the Supreme Court for an impartial recommendation. But let us not permit political fear and delicacy to saddle a substandard rate on our congressional representatives. Unless the full correction of the present unjust situation is made at this time, we are likely to go on with halfway salaries indefinitely. In the long run, this will be bad for Congress and an obstacle to the strengthening of our democracy.
Thank you, Mr. Rummel.
Mr. Guerra, how would you like to be a sponsor of a radio program?
Well, Mr. McCormick, I guess I could keep my dignity.
Well, it might happen. To wit, recommendation that night sessions of the House and Senate be held twice each week, primarily for the purpose of radio broadcasts of Congress in action.
Well, hey, that sounds like an idea. Will the congressman go for it?
Well, some already have gone on record for it, but some others...
I'm terrified at the thought of being put on the air, chiefly because they won't have a chance to edit for the permanent record their impromptu and sometimes ill-advised remarks. As one forthright senator groaned,
broadcasting us would make people think we're bigger boobs than we are.
And several years ago, a similar proposal came up. A sandpapery late senator from South Carolina reacted,
now they want to put a radio back here right behind me so as to broadcast what is going on in the Senate. I do not know anything about radios. I have never listened to one of them in my life. I don't know what they might do. They might fill that thing up with gas, some deadly gas. And just about the time the crowd assembled in this chamber, some fella might turn on a machine down here and just gas out the whole business.
And now at this point, the National Hour takes a slight flyer into the prediction department and brings a glimpse of one sort of thing that might happen when Congress takes to the air.
Well, dear, did you hear my speech this evening?
Yes.
Yes, Hector, I did.
How did I come over?
Well, our radio's not too good, really. We ought to have it fixed.
Yes, but how did I sound?
Well, dear, you were forceful.
Yeah, but...
But your voice didn't have enough sail in it. But you can cultivate that. The man assured me that.
Yeah, what man?
Why, the man from the Demosthenes School of Radio Speech and Microphone Technique. I've made an appointment for you.
What for?
Why, the man guarantees it.
Guarantees what?
Their motto, every senator a speaking Sinatra.
Now, up on your feet, gentlemen, up on your feet. That's right. And old Senator Lutz, I think you'd find your voice box much more free if you wore slightly lower collars. About 2 inches lower. Now, gentlemen, we will all read this passage together. And remember, full honeydew tones, support from the diaphragm, and diction, diction, diction. Now, ready? Begin.
From the rock-bound coast of Maine to the sun-drenched coast of California, from the ice-bound wastes of Alaska, from the parts of Florida.
Mr. Guerra, I'll bet I know what you're thinking.
Huh? Oh, okay, Mr. McCormick. Name it.
You're wondering how much all these changes in Congress are going to cost you.
Hey, that's a smart guess. Well, how much?
In 1940, for every $7 spent by the federal government, only 1 cent was spent on Congress.
The proposed changes, if adopted, will raise that comparative from 1 to 2 cents out of $7.
Answer to the question, part two.
Additional expenditure on Congress is not just that much more money out of the taxpayer's pocketbook. It is rather an assurance that the Congress to which we have turned over our very welfare can perform more effectively.
The streamlining of Congress has been the subject of our documentary, and this is what we have learned.
That now, in the post-war days of decision, many legislators believe our Congress is not adequately organized or equipped to cope with the many domestic and international problems which face it.
That a special joint committee has been studying the problem of organizing and strengthening Congress so that it may better meet its responsibilities under the Constitution. Their report goes to Congress tomorrow.
That the joint committee has discussed recommendations which include many phases of congressional activity, salaries, and retirement benefits.
That upon a strong and effective Congress may well depend the preservation of our civil liberties and our democratic form of government.
On the subject of the streamlining of Congress, then, our documentary is closed.
But this is Robert St. John inviting you to listen to the National Hour again next Sunday when our subject will be Youth at the Crossroads.
This has been the National Hour. From our studios in New York and Washington, the National Broadcasting Company has presented the 16th of the new series on current affairs and national problems. Our speakers today were Mr. Beardsley Rummel and Representative Esther Kefauver of Tennessee. Robert St. John was your narrator, with Robert McCormick reporting from Washington. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.